Let's pray to each prepare ourselves before we study God's Word. While I give you a moment to pray, let me suggest you tell God you want to understand what is true and that you want to think and behave in line with what is true. God, I thank you that you give us your word of truth. It's helpful. As I've been telling my kids for years, but really in a focused way this last week, you don't tell us things to do just to make up rules, just to have fun with us. Things that you tell us are good for us and they're good for other people. You care about people. And so, God, I pray that we would trust you in that, that what you tell us is good. That we would step into it, believe it, and live it. So as you show us what is true today, God, I pray that we would have open hearts to accept it into our thinking, to change our thinking if necessary, and accept it into our behavior and change our behavior if necessary. Because we trust that you're good. And we want to worship you with our lives. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This hammer was given to me by my dad. He used it to build many beautiful things. And he gave it to me. I don't really know how to use it properly. I don't build things with it. I just carry it around when people are building stuff to look awesome. Now, if that were true, what would you think about that? That is kind of like what many people do with spiritual gifts. And Paul is going to correct that in today's passage. Please open your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians. These three chapters are multifaceted about this topic, and we are just getting started on it today. Please look at chapter 11, verses 1 through 3 while I read. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be uninformed. You all know that when you all were pagans, being led off to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I am making known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can conclude Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The first three verses here are not just the start of today's passage. In fact, they're kind of not the start of today's passage, the main passage at all. They are the setup. They are the introduction to the three chapters that are coming concerning spiritual gifts. We might think of everything relating to religion as spiritual in our minds, right? Spiritual stuff. But that's not what is meant by spiritual here. Here it refers to things relating to the Holy Spirit, and specifically Him working through Christians for the benefit of other Christians, the church. We usually summarize that as spiritual gifts. And so most of your verse ones say, now concerning spiritual gifts. That is what this is about. It's appropriate. It seems that certain Corinthians might have thought of themselves as spiritually superior because of their gifts. And that needed correcting. Because everyone who is in Christ has the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit will manifest Himself through every one of those Christians as they give themselves to serving. Most of the Corinthians came from a pagan background. They worshiped false gods. The clear points of verse 2 seem to be, that's the wrong way. Idolatry is the wrong way. And he slips in this other little subtle point that idols are mute. They don't speak. So what this suggests to us is that now that we're in the right way, in Christ, in the church, don't bring the wrong ways, like of paganism, into the church. Maybe most notably, ideas about how spiritual speech works. In fact, for them, we don't really have this in our religions today, I don't think, but in paganism. But in paganism, for them, some of their idols, they viewed them as speaking. And so Paul had to say to them, like, hey, don't bring those ideas into the church. The one true God, on the other hand, in contrast to your mute idols, does speak. And He speaks in various ways through people. But we need to learn what God's ways are and follow those ways rather than just doing whatever way. Something verse 3 is criteria for discerning authentic inspiration of speech. Well, kind of, but indirectly. I think it's an illustration that points to how we can discern right speech in the church. This whole section is about the purpose for gifts of the Spirit, and that there are certain ways that gifts should function to achieve God's purpose. And so I think this is maybe an illustration in another realm of how the Spirit works. This is in a realm that we're all familiar with, which is salvation. Faith unto salvation, coming to Jesus. This Jesus is Lord. That's a formula for somebody coming to trust Jesus. Everybody who comes to that conclusion, Jesus is Lord, got there because the Holy Spirit was helping them to that conclusion. Jesus said, no one comes unto me except the Holy Spirit draws him. And so the Holy Spirit works in people to move them to this conclusion. Jesus is Lord. The Holy Spirit would not lead someone to say something like, Jesus is accursed. And so if a person said something like, hey, Jesus is accursed, and the Holy Spirit led me to that, we would all say, no, there's no way the Spirit did not lead you to that. Right? Saying Jesus is accursed and Jesus is Lord are not both acceptable alternatives where the Holy Spirit leads. The Holy Spirit leads to one of those, Jesus is Lord, and your own direction, or maybe an evil direction, leads to Jesus is accursed. This is a setup for the fact that saying and doing just anything, and saying and doing things in just any way, and claiming that it's the Holy Spirit's work, it's His gifting, doesn't make it so. And we see that still in the church today, that people just do random things. I mean, even as crazy as like having laughing fits and falling down on the ground and saying, that was the Holy Spirit. Totally disrupted the service, but that was the Holy Spirit. Well, we can't just do whatever and say it was the Holy Spirit and have it be true. Things that are from the Holy Spirit have a certain character. They lead a certain way. Spiritual gifting is no different. We need to learn what the Holy Spirit does, how He does it, and what His purposes are so that we know what is truly from the Spirit and what is not from Him and not being done in His ways. So in a sense, this opening example here is a way, it's not the specific way of discerning, but it's pointing to the way that we discern. And basically that is, hey, there are ways that the Holy Spirit leads, and you need to know what those are, just like He leads in salvation to Jesus is Lord. There are ways that He leads us to right use of spiritual gifts. And just like there are ways that if somebody said, Jesus is a curse, that's obviously not of the Spirit. There are ways that people use gifts that are obviously should be obvious to us that are not the Spirit's doing. And we need to learn and discern. Gifts functioning just however is not acceptable. That is not how the Spirit works. He does things a certain way. He wants things a certain way. And we are going to learn significant amounts about what His ways are over the course of the next 3 chapters, which will take us several weeks. Now remember, verses 1 to 3 are the introduction to three chapters of information. Now, verse 4 starts the first section on the subject of how the Holy Spirit works through Christians for the good of the church. Please look at verses 4 through 7 while I read. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of kinds of service, and the same Lord. And there are varieties of workings, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, many of us have become too comfortable with this label, gifts, spiritual gifts, such that we fail to recognize the most basic thing, what it implies. The Greek word is charisma, which means a free gift. And it is only used in the New Testament as with gifts that come from God. Free gifts that come from God. It's usually used with regard to what we're studying here today, spiritual gifts. But it is also used sometimes to speak of salvation. And most of us understand salvation is a free gift given by God. It's not earned. Well, like that, also every spiritual gift in the variety of gifts is given by God. It is not earned. Why is that an important point? Because if you don't earn something, you shouldn't take credit for it. Like some people do with their spiritual gifts. Like, if my dad gave me this hammer, which he didn't, that's just a hammer I grabbed out of the drawer. But if he gave me this hammer, I couldn't even take credit for buying it and paying a lot of money for it, which this hammer would not cost a lot of money. But I couldn't take credit for that, right? Because I didn't even buy it. I didn't do anything. It was just given to me. My kids all the time, they say things like, "We have whatever." And I correct them. I got this from another dad, but I love it. I say, "No, you have nothing. That's mine. I have stuff. And I let you use it. And even my stuff is not mine. God gave me my stuff." And that's how it is with gifts. We have no place to go, "This is mine and I'm great." Because we didn't earn it. We didn't buy it. We didn't get it for ourselves. God gifts it to us. It seems that some of the Corinthians in the church were distinguishing themselves from others based on what they perceived as an extra special showing of the Spirit, which they thought made a person, a Christian, extra special who had that gift. And Paul seems to have been correcting that. We have varieties of gifts among us, but the differences are not supposed to divide us into people with greater and lesser status. What unites all of us is supposed to motivate us to bring all of our variety together for one purpose. When we are focused on what unites us, then each of us brings our various gifts to contribute to the good of the whole. We should focus on the fact that we all trust the one triune God. That unites us. Paul says we have the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. That is what unites Christians. And anything from that God should not divide us, including gifts. We get these gifts from God not because of our individual greatness and not to show off the individual person, but so that we can help God's church, which we are all part of. And so with that main point understood, let's explore these verses further for what we can learn about the nature of gifts. And it's going to keep pointing back to that main point. Not only are there varieties of gifts, but there are varieties of kinds of service. What we should do with spiritual gifts is serve. We are supposed to serve for the common good of the church. We don't all serve the same ways. There are varieties of ways to serve or varieties of ministries, and those varieties all serve to accomplish what God wants in His church. So each person plays a different part to achieve the totality of what God wants in His church. And the way that we serve, the ministry we serve in, like the gifts themselves, are not supposed to differentiate us into greater or lesser. So based on our gifts, we don't go, this person's greater, that person's lesser. Based on the ministry we serve in, we don't go, this is greater ministry, this is lesser ministry. Whatever way we serve, using whatever gifts God chooses to give us, we each play an important part of achieving what God wants. There are also varieties of workings. This Greek word translated workings or effects is usually used of God's energizing work. In fact, I didn't look up all the occurrences this time, but if memory serves me correctly, this is only used of God and His energizing work, work that He does through human work. So you hear this Greek word is, the verb is energao. Kind of sounds like what? Energize, right? That's exactly what the idea is. God energizes. So like another passage that you might be familiar with is Philippians chapter 2, work out your salvation, for it is God who works in you. Those are actually two different words for work. The first word for work, so this is talking about the good works in our lives. The first word for work is the normal word that's used for Christian good works. The second word that's used is energao. So the point there is, you give yourself as a Christian to doing the good works that you know God wants you to do based on the Bible, based on the leading of the Spirit, whatever. You give yourself to the good works, and the Holy Spirit's going to energize you doing the good works. Seems to be a similar thing here. We give ourselves to serving, and the Holy Spirit energizes. He shows up and does special things so that our service is powerful. This energizing, this working points to the fact that God is actively at work through the gifts. So the gift is not something God gives us and walks away. So actually, like, this hammer is a poor illustration in that sense. You know, this is not a gift. Here you go, hand it to somebody and leave them to do whatever they want with it. That's not how spiritual gifts work. God is actively working at every moment in the gift through each of us to achieve things for His church. In fact, verse 7 says, what is given is a manifestation of the Spirit. This is not a different thing. This is explaining gifts, manifestation of the Spirit. Manifestation means showing up or showing something. Let me ask you, what is showing? It's the manifestation of the Spirit. So the Spirit of God is showing in the gifts. This is really, really cool. Gifting is the Holy Spirit showing Himself, the Holy Spirit showing up in each Christian in a special way, working, energizing as they offer themselves to serve. Have you thought about serving that way before? Have you thought about gifting that way before? I think that is really cool. In fact, we tend to also think of gifting as like, I get this one thing and I have it all the time and I just use this one thing. It's way more dynamic than that. The Holy Spirit could decide to show up in one moment and never do the same thing again in you ever again. Maybe He's never done it before and He never does it again, but right at that moment, He does what He wants in you. But even though it is really cool that the Holy Spirit shows Himself in you and me, it's not to show off you or me. The goal of it is the common good of the church. People get gifts. They serve. And God is at work through it for the good of His church. Each of us should be putting our service toward that. Notice the words, to each is given. Verse 7. To each is given. Each And every Christian has at least one gift to apply to serving for the common good of the church. If each doesn't serve their part, then all the good that God wants for His church potentially won't be achieved. Or at least it won't be achieved through that person. Let's store this important point in our brains, because it's critical, not just to right here, but all the chapters that are going to come on this topic. Here's the point. Gifts are given to each and every Christian and should be used in serving for the common good of the church. Also note this as a sub-point. Gifts are not for the status of the individual Christian. A significant theme throughout 1 Corinthians so far has been that each and every Christian is to build up, is to benefit other Christians. That's part of why God brings us together. We are supposed to be moving away from primarily thinking about ourselves, and we're supposed to be thinking more about other people and benefiting them. Spiritual gifts and serving is no different. These are not given to us for our own egos, but for the sake of benefiting others. Now let me ask you an application question. Do you serve the church in some way for the good of its people? If not, then at least a couple of things are not happening as a result of that. The church is not getting the good that it could because it's missing the good contribution that would come through you. And you are missing out on the experience of the Holy Spirit showing up through you for the good of others. Here's my suggestion. Find a ministry that you have some affinity for and just try it. You don't have to figure out what your gifting is first. If you want to know what I think about gifts tests, you can ask me about that in Q&A. You will discover how the Spirit works through you as you offer yourself to serving. I didn't end up being a preacher because I displayed preaching ability from sitting in the congregation. And the pastor said, "Oh, I see it. You must be a preacher." I took several spiritual gifts tests, and preaching never came up on the spiritual gifts test until I became a preacher. But you know what happened? I just felt this leading that I was supposed to preach. Before seminary, before I'd had any training, I just felt like I was supposed to preach. I went to a pastor and I said, "I think I'm supposed to preach. I don't know what that means and I'm scared to death." And he said, "Well, let's have you try preaching." And I'm like, "What?" And I was like, "Oh, okay." And we put a date on the calendar, and the date got closer and closer, and I'm studying, and I called him and I go, "I am inadequate for this. I don't know how to study at this level. I need some help studying first before I do the preaching." So I canceled and learned to study and went back to the pastor and said, "Okay, let's do this." And I tried it, and the congregation, people were coming up to me saying, "That was good. God used you. God used that." And so it showed the gifting. And I would suggest that's how it often works. I have this philosophy that if you're supposed to be serving for the good of the church, then let the church tell you if you've been good. Instead of somebody like demanding, "I need to do this," or "I need to do that," just jump into something, offer yourself as a servant, and the people who you serve will go, "Hey, God worked through you." Or they'll go, no, "Don't do that again. Try something else." Here's another application question. If you do recognize your gifting, does it puff you up? Does it make you feel better than others? We have to fight that. Gifting is not about that. It's about the good of the church, not elevating individuals. In the next verses, Paul illustrates the point that the same Holy Spirit gives the whole variety of gifts, and the Spirit does it the way He wills. Thus, no individual should be puffed up about their gifting. Please look at verses 8 through 11 while I read. To one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, but to another a word of knowledge from the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. But to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. But to another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing of spirits. To a different one, nationalities of tongues. But to another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individual just as He wills. This is a sample list of gifts. There are other sample lists elsewhere which contain different gifts. I put one of those most prominent lists at the end of your sermon notes that you can look up in Romans 12. We're not going to talk about what each of these gifts might look like used in the church, because that's not the purpose of them being here. It's not for us to learn how each of these functions. The purpose is to give some examples of the variety, and that all within the variety are from the same Holy Spirit. In verse 8, Paul pairs a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. And we know from earlier in the book of Corinthians that the Corinthians really valued wisdom. So Paul may have put these together with a but in between to suggest that a word of knowledge is equally from the Holy Spirit as a word of wisdom is, and thus equally valuable to the church. In verse 9, Paul pairs faith with gifts of healing. Faith is the ability to trust God. Every true Christian trusts God, even if it's only for salvation. But when it's a gift, a person has it in extraordinary measure. Some gifts have what I call a common expression, meaning every Christian is supposed to have that at some level or do that at some level. But the gifted has it or does it extraordinarily. For example, we are all supposed to give financially to God's kingdom. But according to Romans 12, there are those who are gifted to give, and they are supposed to do it extra generously. Similarly, the Spirit does this work of faith in a special way in some Christians. Remember, when something is a gift, it's not for the individual who has the gift, it's for the church. So it's not just for this person to trust God in a great way. It's probably some way that they help others to trust God. Like maybe when somebody's having a hard time trusting God, this person with the gift comes to them and speaks to them in a way that encourages them to trust God. I don't think I have this gift usually. I can tell people, here's what God says. Trusting Him is up to you. I don't really have the gift to encourage people in that. But just to demonstrate how the Spirit can work however He wills, that's not a gift that I would say I have on a regular basis. But on Thursday night, the Holy Spirit decided to do that. I was in a parking lot. I felt led to help this lady. I felt like the Spirit was clearly telling me to go help this lady. I helped her. And then God told me to say something to her. And I said, the Lord Jesus sees you. He knows you. He cares about you. And He met your need, not me. He sent me to do His work, but it was Him that met your need. And she starts to bawl. And I ask her, do you trust Christ? And she said, yes, I do, but I've been having a hard time trusting Him lately. And when she opened the car door of her car, worship music was blaring out of her car. This was a sister in Christ that was having trouble trusting God, and the Holy Spirit gifted me for that one moment in a way that I never am to help her trust Him. But anyway, what stands out to me in this list and this pairing faith is faith seems so ordinary. And that may be exactly what Paul was going for. In this list of what seems extraordinary, here's an ordinary. and paired with healing. You see, we might look at a gift of healing and think, wow, healing, that's awesome. I want that gift. I want to see that gift. That person is cool that has that gift. And Paul may have put healing and faith together with a but in between to suggest that gifts as seemingly as ordinary as faith is equally from the Holy Spirit as gifts of healing and equally as valuable to the church. And there's even a little grammatical hint in here that Paul might have been suggesting, if you want to make one of them more important, faith is more important. In verse 10, Paul speeds up his list, no longer pairing them. The works of miracles, prophecy, the distinguishing of spirits, nationalities of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. This is just a sample of the variety of gifts. But no matter what gift someone has, they are all from the same Holy Spirit. Whether they seem to us to be spectacular or they seem to us to be boring. In Romans chapter 8, there's a gift of helps. Just means to help somebody else do their ministry. Boring. But it's awesome. That's how we're supposed to see it. I see it as awesome. There are a ton of you that do tons of things around here that help me to be able to focus on what I'm gifted to do. And I appreciate it. It's miraculous to me that you would have the heart to do that and that you do it. And it all comes together. That's the point, is that each of us puts in our part and we all come together to achieve what God wants. There seems to be a small hint here at what might have been one of the issues in Corinth, and it still is an issue in some churches today, is why I kind of bring it up, point it out. I wish you could see this in your English translation, but I didn't find a translation that shows it. In verses 8 through 10, it reads, another, 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 over and over again, right? Most of those are the Greek word allo. But before tongues, it switches to etero. I translated etero as a different one. I think Paul switches the adjective, maybe pointing to a problem in Corinth. Etero means being distinct from the other items mentioned. I pull from what the rest of the book has to say to make a big deal of this little adjective. What I wonder is whoever had this gift may have been trying to distinguish themselves as specially gifted above the other Christians. What did this gift go with? Or what did this adjective go with? What gift? Tongues. Nationalities of tongues. People who spoke in tongues may have been trying to distinguish themselves as specially gifted above all the others in the church. Does that still happen today? There seems to be this small hint here, but that was a problem back then. And later in the book, there's big hints that that was a problem. Paul doesn't deny, though, that tongues is a spiritual gift. See, this is where we err as evangelicals sometimes, is we see a misuse, and so we throw out the whole thing instead of correcting it. But let me give you an example. Like, if some people are doing marriage poorly, should we throw out marriage? No. It's a good thing from God. We should just try to get it right. Correct it with God's word. Well, Paul doesn't deny that tongues is a spiritual gift. He says one and the same Spirit works all these things, which included tongues. It just needs correcting. Somebody using their gift for their own ego is wrong. Someone using the possession of a certain gift to make other Christians feel less spiritual is wrong. And it still happens today, specifically regarding tongues. Needs correcting, not throwing out. Now, since tongues does seem to have been and is still a problem, and it's going to come up in the later chapters in a big way, Let me point out a couple things about it that we get from right here. I got to go through this fast, but I want to point this stuff out. The word translated as tongues is basically a synonym for languages. The word tongues in and of itself does not mean ecstatic speech that is something other than known human languages. Now, I'm not denying that some of the Corinthians had done ecstatic speech. I'm just saying that the Holy Spirit-empowered gift is not necessarily ecstatic speech, which is something other than known languages. Many things point to the Holy Spirit-empowered gift of tongues being the ability to speak known human languages that the speaker has not learned. That's what's supernatural about it, not that it's something ecstatic that nobody understands, but that the person speaking it didn't know that language naturally. Like, if I didn't, there's been many times I've been in Uganda and I've been preaching and I've got a translator and I say something that I know should have gotten a reaction from the audience and there's no reaction. And in my mind, I'm going, my translator blew it. And I've gone just real quick in my brain, God, could I just please speak Luganda so that I can just preach this myself? Hasn't happened yet. But that's what we're talking about here, is known languages. Like I said, there's evidence for this. Acts chapter 2, verses 4 to 11, it specifies that tongues were spoken through the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and they were understood by various nationalities of people in their own languages. In verse 10, in our passage today, there's an adjective that modifies tongues. The Greek word is gene. I translated it as nationalities, as in nationalities of tongues. That word could point to the fact that these were known human languages. The miraculous part, like I said, is not that it's some strange, nonsensical speech. The miraculous part would be that the speaker hasn't learned the language. It was just given to them supernaturally by the Spirit for the need of the moment. Now, even if you translate gene as various kinds, which is what most of your translations do, various kinds of tongues, that still points to multiple languages, not what some say, that this is one specific kind of heavenly language. There are various kinds, plural, of tongues, languages, that can be supernaturally given to Christians by the Spirit. Verse 11 points again to Paul's main point. The Spirit is the one who works, empowers all these things. That means all these spiritual things, these spiritual gifts. So that includes the gifts that are sampled here, and it would include gifts that are not listed here. The Holy Spirit empowers all those things. And the Holy Spirit distributes to each individual just as He wills or as He wants. No person chooses their gift. We are told in another place that we can desire gift later in this book, in fact. But we don't choose it. We can't demand it. We can't make it happen. It is chosen for us by the Holy Spirit. He's the one who gifts. Nobody earns it. And so there shouldn't be any pride, personal pride in a person based on the spiritual gifts or gifts that they have. If we get caught up in that, we are missing the point of gifts entirely. Remember the purpose of gifts. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good of the church. So again, I ask you, do you serve the church in some way for the good of its people? You serving with the Spirit's gifting is necessary for the church to have all the good that God wants for His church. Also, I ask you again, if you recognize what your gifting is, does it puff you up? Does it make you feel better than others? On the other hand, maybe you feel like your gifts are lowly. Maybe you don't even feel like you're necessary to the church. Well, we'll address those things next Sunday. What questions do you have or challenges about this passage or topics that may have brought up for you? Yeah, so basically, like, how does gifting work in the fact that you seem to grow over time? I don't know. Nobody really knows that one. That's one of these, you know, he's telling us a bunch of critical stuff in these chapters of how it's supposed to function, but he doesn't tell us everything. And just like, let me use that other pairing that I used as an example in the sermon, like Philippians chapter 2. Work out your salvation, so you do good works as a saved person, and God will, energao, he will work in you as he wills. How does that work? Right? You keep changing in your character and and you keep growing even in certain things that maybe you've been working on for years, and I do the same thing. I'm growing in those things. I see the Holy Spirit at work. I go, I couldn't have achieved that by myself, but there does seem to be some level of my involvement, my giving myself over and over again, my work. How those two things, the Spirit and our effort, work together is mysterious, but what the Scriptures clearly communicate over and over is both are necessary. They spiral together, and so the same thing in gifts. We don't know exactly, you know, how that works, like what level of my growth in preaching, because I'm surely a better preacher now than I was 20 years ago or whatever it was, 15 years ago. How did I grow in that? Was it mostly me? Was it mostly the Spirit? What was a combination of both? Like, I don't know. But it doesn't really matter except for that both parts are present, that I'm giving myself to serving the ways that he wants me to, and the Spirit is clearly empowering that. And in my life, I can see it. I see it, I know it when the Spirit is working in me to gift me. And unfortunately, there are times when I feel like the Spirit wasn't working, you know, and the Spirit wasn't doing his thing. Thankfully, that's not often. But every week, it's so important to me. A critical part of my sermon preparation is prayer and dependence on the Holy Spirit. Every week, I start by telling the Spirit, I can't do this well. I can't understand the Greek grammar and translate this and interpret this and make applications for your church. That's all in my preparation. I can't do that without your help. And then when I get in the pulpit, it's not over. It's the same thing. I can't do this without you. Please energize what I'm about to say. If I mess anything up in my preparation, change it. If there's anything that I didn't include that's supposed to be in here, include it. And just try to follow him in that. And somehow those, my effort and his work combine for growth. And not only growth of other people, but my own growth in using my gifting. Yeah, so she's just making the point, not really a question, but a comment. But it's all very mysterious. There, maybe I should add this, is that most things with God, there's like an in-between, what our tendencies tend to be. And so we tend to go way extreme this way, or we tend to be really extreme in narrowing things, and God's way is usually somewhere in between. And so like Paul seems to be correcting this real extreme of like anything, you know, that we want to do, like let's give credit to the Spirit of God and just be crazy. But also we don't want to take it down so narrow that we put the Holy Spirit in a box, in our little box, and we go, this is the only thing that he can do, and he does it this way. He gives everybody one gift, and he gives them a gift for life, and it works this way, and does it this way. No. You're talking about the living God. Don't stick him in that little box. He can do miraculous things. Like I said, you know, just this last week, and it was the first time for that gift. It's not the first time he's given me a gift for one instance. He's done that on other occasions. Prophecy, I feel like one time in my whole life, I prophesied in a way, some call preaching prophesying, but prophesying in the way where I knew something that I shouldn't have known, that I spoke to somebody, that God told me to speak it to them, and it was exactly the thing that they needed to hear, and it was for them. Happened one time in my whole life. So we can't limit the Holy Spirit to just, here's my little box, but also we shouldn't be crazy and go outside the boundaries of what is from the Spirit. So we need to learn how to live in between. Let's each pray to apply what we learned today. Would you listen to the Spirit? What might he be telling you that needs to be modified, needs to change about your thinking? And also listening to him, is there anything that needs to change in your behavior? Maybe a way that he wants you to start serving. Would you listen to him? God, I thank you that you give us grace. You have given us grace in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, to have eternal life. We get that gift for free by getting in your Son, by trusting your Son. And the lesser known thing, God, but we still need it, and I'm thankful for it, is the grace to live the Christian life, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The way that we're supposed to fight sin is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The way that we're supposed to serve is the gifting of the Holy Spirit. And so, God, may we live by that gift of the Holy Spirit, just with the same level of dependence that we have on the gift of Christ for salvation. And may we see the goodness of living that way, and I trust that you will be glorified by each of our lives. It's in Jesus' name I pray, and all those who agreed said, Amen.